Our scripture today is from Psalm 100. It's one of the most familiar psalms in the Bible. You may know it, even if you don't know, you know it. It's a psalm of praise. Let's hear these words for us today. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, our scripture says. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing, the psalm tells us. A few weeks ago, we made the mistake of letting Ella, our daughter Ella, talk us into getting the Christmas books out from the closet to read. It's July. We try to save them for, you know, Christmas time. And since then, we've found a way to sneak most of them back into the closet when she wasn't looking, you know. All except for this one little book of Christmas carols. And so when Ella wants to read her books, we also have to sing our way through this little book of Christmas carols. I do love hearing her sing these songs for us. I don't love as much having jingle bells stuck in my head for the last month, middle of summer, you know. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Come into his presence with singing. We're supposed to sing. Over and over throughout the Bible, it says, sing to the Lord, worship the Lord with gladness. Again and again, it's the most repeated command in the whole Bible. Sing to the Lord, worship the Lord with gladness. I've heard someone say that when we sing, it's like we're praying twice. It's like we're praying twice. We're supposed to sing to the Lord. This command to make a joyful noise to the Lord and worship the Lord with gladness, it really doesn't just mean to sing to the Lord. Instead of worship the Lord, the King James Version says serve the Lord with gladness. Worship is serving the Lord, and serving the Lord, however we serve the Lord, is worship. And so so when we live our daily lives, worship is not just that once a week thing. Worship is our day-to-day lives, whatever we put our time and energy in. That's our worship. That's our service. If someone were to observe us throughout our week, if someone were to watch and try to determine who or what we really worship, based on how we spend our time and our energy, is God really the center of our worship? I wonder. It's not exactly an easy thing in this world to be the kind of people who in the midst of the many challenges we're facing in this world, to choose to praise God, to worship God. There's maybe nothing more radical and countercultural in this world than living our lives in praise and thanksgiving to God, even in the midst of turmoil. Walter Brueggemann says that in our world that is so obviously on the edge of insanity, it's an act of sanity. It's an act of sanity to worship God, as we're called to do in Psalm 100. It's an act of sanity to remember that the Lord is God, and we are not, that we are his people. So we praise God. We worship the Lord with gladness. We've been talking about finding God in the world. And it's true, it's possible for any one of us to look and to find God wherever we are. God is present and active throughout this world. And our scripture from Psalm 100 today affirms this idea. It says, make a joyful noise, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. This is God's world, every bit of it created by God. So whoever we are, wherever we are in this world, we are God's people in the middle of God's good creation. So finding God in this world means opening our eyes to the goodness of God in this world around us. In our Wednesday night life group, we did a study this year called The Good and Beautiful God. And we talked about how good God really is to us and how we sometimes struggle to see it with the busyness of this life, with everything on our list. It takes pausing to remember, paying attention to the good and beautiful God in this world. We watched a video, a story about this pastor, Mark Iaconelli, and his kids. He had two boys, a four-year-old and a six-year-old boy. Every morning, Mark was in charge of getting the kids up and getting them ready, getting them breakfast and out the door. And he'd always, as the parents' struggle goes, always he'd be trying to hurry them along, get them out the door, and get himself to work. His older boy, Noah, was a little more like him, a little wired. But his younger boy, Joseph, would just sort of just poke along. He'd be, Mark and his older boy, Noah, would jet out the door, but Joseph would just kind of just slowly, painfully, slowly poke along. They'd be walking to school, and Mark would be up ahead of him saying, "Come on, hurry up," and Joseph would stop. He'd be looking around. He'd stop, and he said, hey, Dad, look at this rock. There's a whole block full of rocks. We got six blocks to go. There's a whole block full of rocks. We got to get to school," Mark would say. But Joseph would be stopped. He'd be digging in the bushes, watching the ants on the sidewalk. And always, by the end, Pastor Mark would just always have to end up throwing him over his shoulder and, you know, just running to school. One day, the little boy, Joseph, was talking to his dad and said, "Dad, I started a club today. It's called Slow Club. I'm the president," he said. He said, "We have two rules, no running and no hurrying." And so their little walks to school in the morning became painfully long, twice as long, with little Joseph just slowly walking. Because he's the president, you know, slow. He may have actually been the only member of this club. Not that he didn't try to get other people to join. People would come over to the house and he'd say, "You want to join my club? Here's the rules. No running and no hurrying." And nobody could do it. Nobody could honestly agree to say that I won't hurry. Nobody could do it. Next summer, Mark was leading a week of church camp with some youth, and his boy Joseph got to tag along. And they got up one morning at the camp, and Joseph said, "Dad, would you like a one-day pass to Slow Club?" And he had to think about it. Finally, he said, "Okay, all right, I'll do it." They were out late in the morning watching some kids play frisbee, and then the lunch bell rang. And it was one of those kind of lunches where there's only so much hot food that they have, you know, like one chicken leg per 2.3 kids. And so the bell rings, and the kids are running to lunch. The adult counselors are sprinting ahead of them, and there they are, you know, just so slow, lagging behind. And Joseph could see his dad getting a little bit annoyed at this. And so he said, Dad, look around. Look around." So they started to see things that the other kids didn't see. Two jackrabbits playing in the grass, wildflowers in the field, a group of butterflies dancing in the air. Nobody else saw this beauty, this goodness, the presence of God with them there. Our scripture tells us to enter God's gates with thanksgiving It's a choice. It's a choice to step out of the ebb and flow of whatever way that this world is taking us and enter God's gates here and now and give thanks for God's great love for us. When we do that, when we make that choice to slow down enough to give ourselves over to God in that moment, right then and there, wherever we are, it's holy ground. We come into the presence of God. We talked a little bit about the parables of Jesus last week, about how Jesus told stories and that paint a picture of who God is and what God is doing in this world. And one of those stories in the gospel, Jesus tells about a shepherd and his sheep. There were some sheep safely home back on the farm, and one little lamb got loose and went and got himself lost. I think we are kind of like this little wandering sheep. And God is our shepherd. God, in his great love for us, goes out and God searches until he finds us. It is true that when we go and look, we can find God just about anywhere. But more often than not, it seems to be the case that it's really God. It's really God who's finding us. When we're wandering, searching for something, God, our shepherd, is faithfully seeking us. In a world that seems to be spinning madly, wildly, we have a God whose love is steadfast and sure, his faithfulness to all generations. The only proper response is to give our thanks and praise to God. When I was in seminary, there was a chapel worship service every Tuesday that the school encouraged us to go and participate in. And I went and I tried it a few times. And after a while, I began to start trying to avoid it if I had even the slightest of excuses. It was just something about the chapel space with white, giant white stone pillars, high ceilings, and something about the worship just felt so high and mighty. It was really my own problem, heart problem. I found that whenever I did go to the service, I would spend about half the time being critical about the whole service, sort of reluctantly standing and joining half-heartedly in the singing, and then the other half I'd spend mad at myself, kicking myself for missing the point of it all. One week there was a guest preacher for the chapel, and one of my favorite professors was preaching. And I can't for the life of me remember what he was preaching about or what the scripture was or anything, but I do remember that all throughout the sermon, it felt like God was just getting closer and closer. By the end, my heart was just about ready to burst for the beauty of the gospel. He said, amen. And I began to weep for the great love that God has for us, the God that was revealed to me there. And then the organ began to play, and we all stood up. You know, I didn't even think about it. I stood up. We started to sing, and I sang. I couldn't help it. I had to. I wanted to for the goodness of God, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever. Praise God. At my last church in Texas, the kids from the youth group had this little tradition. We're in the middle of the worship service. Whenever the organ would play that first chord to start the doxology, all the kids in the room would all jump up to their feet as fast as they could to see who could stand up first. I think they had this right idea about this worship the Lord with gladness idea. They'd stand up and they'd kind of look around to see who won. And then we'd start to sing. The church together would start to sing, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." Would you stand and sing that with me? Would you stand? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below.
Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.